I'm Sonia Morton Firth, and you're tuned in to the Sonia Morton Firth Show. Today, my guest is Nathan Jones. Nathan is an MMA fighter. He's long in the game with a multitude of fights under his belt. He uses his mental strength gained in studying martial arts to help young people focus on improving their lives. Watch this interview to see how an MMA fighter is truly making a difference. Nathan, thank you so much for being here and a guest in my home. It's lovely to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Doing really well, thank you.
Nathan, how are things at the moment? Because obviously, you can't be fighting at the moment. Things must have changed quite radically since COVID. Yeah. How are you coping? What's the fighting scene like or not like?
Well, I mean, things aren't ideal. The fighting scene is dormant. Got to get some training in at home and stuff, but it's not how we all want it to be. So just at home and keeping myself active at home.
And just before COVID was announced, the lockdown was announced, you had a fight, a big fight, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because it didn't actually happen the way that you were.
No, it didn't.
You planned all that was planned.
Yeah, so I was due to fight. I did fight, but I was due to have it in London. Big crowd, I must have sold about 80 tickets.
It was a Cage Warrior.
Cage Warriors, yeah. Sold about 80 tickets. You know, friends, family, people that hadn't seen me fight. I had my young people there. Had it all set up, a really good opponent. And then the week of, there was no crowd. So they shut the event to the public. And then literally 2 days before the fight, they relocated it up into Manchester.
Wow.
And it was stressful, to say the least, because I didn't know if the fight was going to go ahead. The whole 2 weeks lead up, we didn't know if the fight was going to go ahead. I didn't know if my opponent was going to make it in the country. He's French.
Who was it? Are you allowed to...
David Baer. David Baer, really good guy, an excellent fighter. We didn't know if he was going to get into the country, or he would get into the country, but we didn't know if he was going to get back into the country. And I don't know about him, but... If there was no guarantee that I could get back home, I wouldn't go. You know what I mean?
So
there was all this doubt and uncertainty going on in my head, and I had to cut weight and stuff. But we went through with it and we fought. I lost the decision, a tough decision, backward and forward. Really good scrap. But it just, I don't know, it just wasn't how I would have expected it to be, you know, getting that vibe off that crowd.
How was it not having the fans there and the clapping and applauding and the energy, I guess, because you must take quite a lot from the energy.
No, exactly. It was surreal. It was surreal. However, what made it more surreal was that I knew that everywhere in the world, there was no other live event going on, no other MMA event. So I was, you know, the show that was on was the only show that was happening. It was a great opportunity to have all those people at home to watch live MMA. So that was in my mind. However, you just didn't get that intimate roar of the crowd, you know. But I could hear my corner, you know, which was a positive.
Yeah.
So there's always flips and sides to everything that we do. But yeah, it was real surreal. I don't know if I would do it like that again. I'd definitely have that fight again.
Have there been any closed door fights? I know in the boxing world there have been a couple of closed doors.
So people are starting to get up and doing it. Like the UFC, they're doing some closed door events. But the difficulty is not so much for me as a fighter, not so much having a fight, but I want to be able to train, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So if I'm going to put myself out on that pedestal where the risks are real, I need to be fully prepared. And at the moment, we can't train to be fully prepared. Not in train in the full capacity that we could before. So, you know, it's not really going the way we would like it at the moment.
Are you doing any training? Is it possible to do any training?
I'm doing some training at home. Some mobility work, some rehab work, a few kettlebells and stuff. But that's a fraction of what I would be doing.
Because it's a contact sport, right?
Exactly.
You can't really social distance while you've got someone down on the ground, I guess.
Exactly. You know, and I'm a professional athlete. So the way that, you know, having been a professional athlete and being stuck at home, not being able to train, I feel like a dog, like, caged, you know. I've got all this vented up energy that I need to let out, you know. So as soon as we can, we're going to, you know, get back to that gym.
Have you thought about, or do you know anything about how the industry is going to pan out? I mean, have you got any idea when events are going to start opening in terms of MMA fights?
In terms of MMA fights, I think realistically, August, September time, being optimistic and realistic at the same time. Like I said, there are a few events happening as and when, but I think September time, we'll start to see a bit more happening.
And do you think there'll be live audiences there as well?
I don't think so, being realistic, because not until we get a vaccine, no one knows what's going to happen, you know? I think, if we're lucky, that could happen. It could be a possibility, but I don't know. Touch wood.
It's not, obviously not, it's just not the MMA events, it's events right across the board.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But you've been in this game for a long time. In fact, you're a long-standing professional at MMA fighting, and you got to Cage Warriors, and you had a very, very big fight that could have been taking you to the next level. But something happened there. Can you tell me about that fight and a little bit how that was maybe the turning point?
So that I was fighting on for Bama World Title, and that was Wembley Arena. And yeah, you're right, that was my chance. I was fighting for the world title. Had I won, I could have got to the next step. I didn't win. I got knocked out in the first round. And still today, like, that's one of the moments, definitive moments of my career, you know, and people ask me, how does it feel?
How does it feel? I don't want to be just anyone, but how did it feel? Who were you fighting?
I was fighting Alex Lahore. I fought Alex Lahore. That was 2 years ago, September 17, so 2.5 years ago. And funnily enough, when I'm ever asked how do I feel, it's always a different answer each time. It honestly depends how I feel. Do you know what I mean? To how I feel at the moment, to how I would look back at those experiences. But recently, I feel okay about it. I can sit there, watch the fight, you know. Break it down, how I was feeling, what I should have done, you know, and I've drawn lessons from there.
What lessons have you drawn from there?
Well, for the first of all, one, it's a sport, you know. If you don't win, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, you can't just accept defeat. You know, no one's defined by their losses. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get up on that horse and you get up and you try it again. And that's something that I've had to prove to myself and also show everybody else that it can be done. And even having your moment slip out of your fingertips, literally, you know what I mean? It can still be done. So there are a couple of the main things that still ring true to me now. You know, like in this minute, you know, ask me tomorrow, I might be like, oh, get rid of that. You know, I mean, I don't want to see that. But it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. A valuable lesson that I wouldn't take away, but at the same time, it could have happened, you know what I mean, somewhere else, like down the line. That world
the
title,
past
you know
the
what
past,
I mean?
Though, right? You just got to, like, yeah.
No, exactly. Exactly.
You say, learn the lessons, and there's something bigger and better that
exactly.
maybe will come from this.
But, you know, that's also what I like about the sport. The sport, for me, is a reflection of real life, that it's not always easy. And mm-hmm. if there's something out there that you want, you've got to fight for it. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I do in my martial arts. And the emotional roller coaster that we go through is I don't think I could, me trying to explain it, I'll do it justice. Do you know what I mean? The highs are high and the lows are low. And yeah, at that moment in time, losing that fight and other big fights, you know, I've fought abroad, I've fought all up and down the country, you know, having those big fights and not getting them, it's like, it is
moralizing. What makes you keep getting back up and doing it again? Because you mentioned like, that's part of the industry, of the martial arts and what you love about that roller coaster, but there must be some sort of inner strength or mental mindset.
Well, you just said it. It is that inner strength and it is that mental mindset, that we all need. And the good thing about sport is we put ourselves out there. You know, I'm choosing to make myself comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I go out there, put myself out there to try and improve, to try and get better, and to develop that resilience, you know. And by me putting myself in those conditions will better prepare me for, you know, the resilient times in the real world, you know. Well, that's my thought about it anyway.
And Nathan, you don't just practice this in the MMA fighting. You also help, you also work with a lot of young people as well.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that and how it relates to the MMA fighting.
Yeah, so before I was an MMA fighter, I was a youth worker, family support worker, working with families, parents, with the young people and all the other services that me do, providing them with positive activities, putting them in the right direction, these sorts of things, whatever the issues, you know. I've been working with a mixed bag from disaffected families at high risk, this, that, and the other, you know. They've got like acronyms of the alphabet, all these things, you know. But it's helping young people, working with young people, and now I use my martial arts and my interest in fitness to engage these young people, you know. So we've got funding through the local authority, and we put these on for the local authority as well, through various other organisations, and we deliver martial arts, fitness and youth sessions to school groups and stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, we've been all over London. I've done this for about 8 years now, with young people with martial arts and stuff, so... No, it's great.
And what gave you the motivation to work with young people? And I guess I'm gonna ask you another question. What gave you the motivation to get into MMA fighting? Mm. I don't know if they're related, but
no, they're not. What motivated me to work with young people is, one, I like young people. I like the innocence / naivety of young people to ask those questions. Why?
I'm not that young and I'm still asking why.
Do you know what I mean? Why? But to be able to answer these questions and to get young people to solve problems for themselves, I like that. And I feel that martial arts has a lot of these questions in us and poses a lot of these questions to us. Do you know what I mean? So that's that. And also... I still have that inner child in me. Mm. You know, I'm still that little boy that, you know, used to kick the ball around the park and stuff. So, you know, I like working with young people, like engaging them and stuff. So that's been great doing that. With martial arts, it was the thing of it being hard, you know.
When did you get into it?
So I was 23.
Yeah.
And...
is that quite old to get into
For MMA, yeah. Well, sorry, not necessarily for MMA, but for sports.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to move up the ranks to elite level. You know, boxing, football, they've scouted their guys out from...
Yeah,
from
23 sounds quite old. But, you know...
Older. You know? So they've already scouted in these other sports. So for me, I felt I was a late bloomer, but in reality, I'm not. Because what got me engaged was the difficulty, the level, the intellect that is required. And it's
intellect.
And it's often
talk to
overlooked.
Me about that. Yeah, because I guess people would think it's a very physical sport.
Yeah.
You're obviously touching somebody and grappling with somebody.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. And the way I like to look at it is that I'm an athlete before a fighter. And when with martial arts, it's like chess. They call it human chess. You've got strategy. Do you know what I mean? What if somebody's bigger than you, stronger than you? They may have more gas in the tank than you. You know, the ways to win. There's so many different ways to win. And figuring out this when the risks are real, how can you get them before they get you? And, you know, this style versus that, you know, like rock, paper, scissors and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it that meets the eye. And with MMA, when you watch it and listen to the commentary and you break it down, you can hear the technical aspects of the game, and it's not just, oh, you know, these guys brawling as such, you know. So I'm very much about that strategy side of things and learning the technical aspects of the game, and that's probably what's kept me involved in it, you know. And I've been involved for like last 10 years. I can't really think of anything else that I've done as an activity or a hobby that I've has lasted as long, even when I was a little pup, you know. So, you know, I'm a martial arts man.
So you mentioned strategy and like the MMA fight was like a game of chess. How do you prepare before a fight? Do you analyze your opponents? Do you look at what they do? Or talk me through what you do just before a fight.
Yeah, so a fight camp would last typically 8 weeks. So my coaches will look at my opponent. I don't like to look at my opponent because they're all tough. They're all big. They're all strong. You know, at this level that I'm fighting, they're scary, you know. And if I was to look at...
Do you get scared?
Every single time.
Do you?
Every single time. But then you look at snakes, you look at spiders. They're the most dangerous when they're scared and they feel threatened. Do you know what I mean? So that's how it is for me. You know, I'm scared and it's like, it's either you or me. And
it's got to be, yeah.
Exactly.
You want to take them out. You know?
So that's how I think. But I don't do any research because it will kind of, I'll feed into it. Yeah, but they're good at this and they'll go do that.
Yeah, yeah.
What, no, this could happen, that could happen. And then this little person like eats on you and that can be counterproductive. So what I like to do is train as hard as I can, listen to my coaches, but I'll put myself out there. I'll compete as much as I can. That way it keeps you honest because you'll be fighting, competing against different people each round. You don't know who they are, where they come from, like what they're good at. And it's the next person, next round, next person, next round. And then I'll compete a different sport, you know, because I compete kickboxing as well as jiu-jitsu to help my MMA.
Okay.
Because kickboxing, boxing, Muay Thai, they're the striking arts for the mixed martial arts. And you've got your jiu-jitsu, wrestling, your judo for your grappling, you know. So it needs to be done. So I like to train as much as I can, keep myself honest, and you know, give as good as I get.
Wow. And how did you get the name Bag and Tag? And you've got that on your t-shirt.
Yeah.
unless there's an in thing and I don't know, tell me about Bag and
so
Tag.
So Bag and Tag, you know, I do what I say, you know, I bag them and I tag them.
Yay!
that's the thought behind it. But it actually happened as a gimmick because every fighter has a fight name. All the good fighters out there, they're legends, they all have fight names. And for me, when I started fighting, I didn't know if I wanted to be a fighter. It was like, oh yeah, it's on the bucket list, I'll have a fight, go on then, one and done. That's when I first had it. So I was like, I need a name. If I'm going to do this and this is going to be my you know, I need a name. So I was brainstorming with all my friends and stuff, had a stupid, ridiculous names, and everyone would laugh at me. Oh yeah, Nath, this again, all right, Nath. Do you know what I mean? So I was having one of these fights, the competitions that I was talking about, and I was flagging. I did really well, but I started like gassing out because...
And what do you do at that point when you're gassing out? Where do you like, because presumably you've still got to keep going and
you take
the punches
that's
and whatever.
It. You just get like an adrenaline dump and you're rushing and all of a sudden you just remember to breathe. And it's like, well, you haven't breathed for the last like minute or so. And it's like, oh my gosh, and you start panicking. At this time, my crowd started chanting, bag and tag. Bag and tag.
Wow.
Because one of my guys was in the crowd from when I was, you know, going out with these suggestions. And then before you know it, you got 50 people shouting, bag and tag. And that like gave me that drive. And I don't know where it came from within, just to go out there and give it. So I managed to pick myself up and finish the fight, win the fight. And after that, I was like, well, I can't drop it.
I got you through this fight.
Exactly. So I put a mister in front to show that I'm in business, and
nice.
Mr. Bag and Tag was
Mr.
born.
Mr. Bag and Tag, I love it. Who do you want to fight? Is there somebody that out there that you're like, I really love to fight that, but that's either my next opponent or somebody that I've always wanted to fight?
Well, there's two names. The first one being that Alex Lahore. You know, if I had a chance of redemption, I will take that with both hands. And not let that go, you know. That's probably my biggest wish.
Yeah,
would be that fight. That's my fight. That's within my reach. Mm. One, and I know I can win. Two, and three, chance of redemption. Do you know what I mean? If I was to think of it like real, like fantasy, I would probably say someone like Georges St-Pierre. who was
his. And he's your inspiration,
he
right?
He's my inspiration. He's my leg. He's an absolute legend. Me getting into the sport, he was the guy, the welterweight. He was the welterweight champion of the world. He was the bee's knees, you know, and reigned for many, many years. And I actually got an opportunity to train with him. I was out in Canada. I was training in Montreal, TriStar Gym, and he was there, and it was awesome. And it was I was so awe-inspired that, you know, if you think of it like a computer game, you've got to go through up the levels
to
fight the end boss. And he was like the end boss. I literally fought everybody in that gym because you've got to work your ways up. If you're a traveler, you're just there to visit. You've got to go from the beginner mat to the intermediate mat, into the advanced mat, into the pros with the main pros in the cage. So I managed to work my way up to spar GSP.
And you sparred with him?
Sparred with him, yeah. So awe-inspired that I was like, wow, got beat up. I was like, wow.
but it shows you that if you put your mind to something, or if you really... visualize something can happen, you know.
No, exactly. I'm not saying that, oh, yeah, I want to fight him, but I'm saying that I want to get my skills up at that level to be on paper, an even fight, Nathan Jones. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the amount of accolades, his name will, you know, in light, so he'll live forever as such, you know. And yeah, that's one thing. I would love to fight someone like that. You know, and in an iconic place somewhere like Japan, you know, would be great.
Well, you never know. You've just got to keep that determination
going. That's it.
And do you bring this inspiration to the youth or to the young people that you work with?
Yeah.
Because I guess there's a lot of crossover from that mental attitude of like, you just got to keep going, that mental sort of pick yourself up, especially if you're dealing with people that young guys that are maybe on the streets. Do you think the martial arts helps them?
100%, because we're not all dealt with an even hand in life,
yeah.
You know, and so by me having this inspiration and this experience, I can show them you can have fun in a safe environment, learn new things, take yourself out of your situation, you know, whilst you're training, and be yourself. You know, and to grow and to develop. If I can show them that, that can give them the inspiration to know, you know what? I don't have to accept how life is. I don't have to take no for an answer. I'm going to keep working. And, oh, if you say no, okay, I'll try again. You know, all the things that the qualities that we need to do well in sports, young people have it as they grow up. We're competitive. We all like to win. You know, we want to have fun. We want to learn at the same time. And I think it's all encompassing, and it's a great alternative provisions for young people, for adults as well, you know.
But I think what you've just said there, because I imagine a lot of the young kids that you do deal with, if they weren't turning to say you as an inspiration or martial arts, they'd be doing other things on the street.
Yeah. You know, I've got some real good success stories, and I've also know young people that weren't able to reach in time, you know, because it's all funding dependent. We've been really fortunate where we are based in
Rickham.
When
you say you didn't reach them in time, what can you talk about anything?
Yeah. I mean, like, so, you know, young people, they're within the system, you're trying to work them, they're not engaging, and they're in the wrong crowds, or they're going down the wrong route, and maybe they just got one strike more to go, you know, and you just can't pull them out of that rut that they're in, or out of that circle that they find themselves in. And everybody's different. Everybody's got different circumstances, and we all react or respond in different ways. And it's enabling young people to make decisions for themselves, to respond, not to react, to respond to the situations themselves and do whatever they want to do, you know. So I feel very strongly with that. The work that we do, we're youth workers, we're fighters, and we work with young people to be themselves and then to become who they want to be, you know.
Well, Well, I think that's a great inspiration. I think that's better education than most of our school system provides, to be honest.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because you're working with people that really, well, young people that really need help. And, you know, they're not going to be sat in front of a maths book or an English book, but actually actually teaching them practical things that are going to help them and go on and basically turn their life around. Is really inspirational.
No, exactly. We've got young people that have gone on to compete. You know, we've got young people that have started to help out, teach the younger ones. So we've got them some employment with that. You know, other young people have realised actually what they do like doing, and they like actually doing another sport so they can pursue that, you know. So it's not for everybody, but at the same time, it's a good alternative to get other young people.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, I'm an advocate for it, and we fundraise money. We get money from all different funding streams to provide these activities for young people.
Do you have a main foundation or anyone that you want to mention?
Yeah, so I'm working with Achieving for Children.
The Hardy Foundation.
The Hardy Foundation by Tom Hardy.
Yeah,
You know, funded us for a year, MMA fitness for young people in Richmond and Kingston boroughs. So, you know, it's going to keep going. So support like that is what we need, and it's important to get the message out there and to work with more young people.
I think you're doing an amazing job, Nathan. And just before I come to my last question, what does the future hold for you? Obviously, once COVID is all over and done with, how do you see your career going?
I see me back at the gym, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm at the gym. You'll catch me at the barbers too, right? You know what I mean? So after the gym and the barbers, you know, you'll see me on stage, whether I'm on the mat, in the ring, in the cage, I'll be competing. One of my goals for 2020 is to get my black belt in jiu-jitsu. So I'll be grinding away at that, competing. The bigger, the better the stage, you know.
Wow.
I love it, you know. He who dares wins. So, yeah, I'm just going to be competing, doing what I'm doing, carry on working with the young people, and, you know, extend that reach as and when.
And more cage warrior fights as they, well, once it.
Yeah, once everything gets back and going, you know, they know what they need to do. Just call me.
Nathan, and my final question, I asked all my guests this, is if you were to write a message in a bottle for future generations to find, what would that message be?
I would say enjoy what you have, you know, enjoy the world and think of the next generation and do that for them, you know.
Lovely. Nathan, it's been a pleasure having you on my show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Namaste. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, there's a new interview out every Monday. So hit subscribe and like, and you'll get it straight into your inbox.